The Burt Show.
So a friend of mine is up for a new job, and, you know, tough job market. So he's been going on interview after interview after interview, trying to find the, you know, the place he's going to work and for somebody to hire him. And so he's going back for, like, I think his third interview or second interview at this place. And so there's a fair amount of interest, right? So he's all into it and things are cool. And his supervisor, the supervisor who was interviewing him this time, or manager, was a female, but not the person that he would be working for. So the person who's doing the interview is a good-looking female about his age, he says, right? And standard issue questions, what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, casual conversation about what he could bring to the job. And then she springs this on him in the middle of the conversation. Now, would you have any opposition, or do you this is how she phrased it. What problems do you foresee working under a very attractive female supervisor?
Assuming he'd be so distracted he couldn't get his work done?
I don't know. But that's the way she phrased the question. What problems do you foresee having? So it wasn't like, would you have a problem? It's like, well, what are your problems going to be?
And that's just a weird question to ask in a job interview.
It almost sounds like if we checked with HR, that would be, if not inappropriate, illegal to ask a question like that.
Definitely.
Why would it be illegal?
Sex discrimination?
What's the discrimination?
Well, I mean, if he says he couldn't handle it, then would they ask a female applicant the same thing?
If they do,
because if they don't, then but I'm saying more than likely they probably wouldn't.
What was his answer?
He just said, I got to be honest with you, I don't foresee any problems.
First, I try to have sex with her.
Right.
And if that didn't work out.
Especially if she puts out, I think it's all good. I think is what he said.
It does seem like a bizarre question.
Uh-huh. Totally random and not really, I didn't think it was discriminatory, but I was wondering like what they're fishing for, or if people is it a question where they ask the question to see if like his instant response is a jokey, haha, how attractive, type of thing.
I wonder. I mean, would they have asked a woman that same question?
It seems to me like that is a question based on some history, not with this guy, but in the office. So, like maybe the last guy, I don't know, for whatever reason. It wasn't so much that he was working for a woman, but a really attractive woman. He just wasn't himself, or he came on to her or something. Because they're trying to obviously hire somebody that is the exact opposite of what
they did.
But you can't, like, if that's the case, then I don't think you can ask that question.
I just think it's a bizarre question, to ask at all.
My thought is it was something, because because he doesn't know who his supervisor would be, because he doesn't know where he would be assigned or whatever yet. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, I think they might have a couple other questions in there that he couldn't think of, but I think in the course of the interview, they just throw a couple of random, fairly intense workplace scenarios at him to judge his response.
You know, when we built the Burt Show Entourage, and we're always sort of building the Burt Show Entourage, like if you're an expert in a field, you call us, and then when we have a question about that field, we'll call on you. Our HR guy's on the phone.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Carlos.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, Carlos.
All right, where do you stand on this whole thing? Seems like a bizarre question.
That question, not quite illegal, but it's totally inappropriate.
Really?
On there. Yeah. He could make the case for sexual harassment with the way the question was phrased.
In what way?
Because he was saying attractive female. You know, they specifically, he's male, she's female. So they're actually implicating that, you know, either she's coming on to him or that he can't control himself. So it's totally inappropriate question.
You said something you said something there that I found really interesting, and I wonder if we can get a call on this. Because you mentioned the word sexual harassment. I wonder if there's anybody listening that has been sexually harassed during the job interview. Like, you haven't even taken the job yet.
That's very common for people who make inappropriate remarks to ask for a date, or even I've heard cases where they actually ask the person to put out.
On the job interview?
Yes.
I'm sure.
Inappropriately, yes. In the way they phrase it, you can, it wasn't direct, but you can, you know, imply that, you know, I had one case where they said, we wouldn't hire a female because we have all male people and we don't want any females in here at all because they would turn the men on. So, yeah, there's that question, it was totally inappropriate. Didn't need to be asked in that format at all.
Jesus, look at the phones. And yeah. It's lit up with people that have been sexually harassed during the interview. So if you get sexually harassed during the interview, you never take the job. You can actually turn around and sue that company for sexual harassment, even though you never worked for them?
There's a fine line you've got to understand. You can file a suit. First of all, on the EEO, you have to file a suit with the EEOC. You would have to go to the federal. Georgia does not have a state EEOC. You file a claim with them. They have 179 days to make a determination. You can ask what's called for a waiver and go to your own attorney. Normally, if it's a one, unless it's totally blatant, you're going to have a little hard. If you have two or more, then you have a good case for it. So the answer is, yeah, you can file a claim, but it doesn't mean you're going to win or it will have merit. Mm-hmm. You have to be very careful. Everybody has the right to sue. Doesn't mean everybody's right when they sue.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Really appreciate you calling, Carlos. You're always very thorough.
Okay, good luck. Bye.
I would love to make a living. I mean, if I was remotely physically attractive, just getting hit on at job interviews and suing people. That's what I would do. That's what I would do for a living.
You're the hired sexual harassment gun.
I would go in, wait for the people to hit on me, because if I was, I would make myself irresistible, and then they would come in and hit on me, and then I would turn around and sue them, and be like, gotcha, Senator.
Phone lines are lit up with women that have been sexually harassed during the interview process. Didn't even get the job yet. Hey, Renee, you're on Q100.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
I was calling to let you guys know that I went to a job interview. It was basically, initially bad right off the start. We met at the Capitol Grill Club, not even in an interview room, and drinks were served, and I was basically taken outside, told that I was a very attractive woman, and that they can't really control their mouths, and can I work around somebody like that because they can't deal with another lawsuit?
So they
can't deal with another lawsuit.
Yeah, basically they were telling me that they've already been sued over a sexual harassment case by someone who worked for them, and they couldn't deal with another one. So can I work with them basically making comments about me all the time?
Wow. So basically what they're saying is we got kind of this old boy network around, and we make a lot of crass comments, and we harass the women in the office, and I just want to let you know before you take the job what we're all about.
Uh-huh.
I think it's interesting.
So instead of learning from the lawsuit, we want you to just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. We're not going to change, so you guys, you're going to have to conform to our sexual harassing.
Yes.
I think it's pretty interesting they brought her outside.
Yeah.
Like get her out of the environment. And so it's more of
a took
give
me,
her drinks.
Down a back stairwell while he could basically look me up and down and ask me these questions.
Wow.
Thank you for calling.
Poor thing.
So did you take the job?
No way.
Good
I was
morning.
Afraid of her answer, though.
Right. I needed the money. Hey, Jennifer, you're on Q100.
Hey.
Hi.
I actually went to an interview, and this guy was like 50, and he asked me out on the actual interview. And I kind of, made a subtle comment, and I was like, well, unfortunately, I don't even have time for my own boyfriend. Hint, hint,
Right.
And he was just like, I guess he kind of like shrugged it off, and then that night at 12 he emailed me and was like, well, are you hungry or anything? And I was just like, oh my gosh.
So he took the email that you provided off of your application?
Yeah.
Wow,
and he sent me
horrible.
An email and was like, are you hungry? Just let me know. I hope this isn't awkward. And I'm like, hello?
Yes, it is.
So yeah,
thanks.
I'm sure during the application they don't think they're going to get sued for it. You don't work for the company. They probably don't see it as harassment. It's just a way to meet people,
It's unbelievable.
Oh, this is a great way to meet a date. Well, I got all of her information. She's coming in. I'm in control. I asked her all these questions and have no intention of giving her the job.
Hey, Melissa, you're on Q100.
Hi. Hello, you guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I actually been sexually harassed before I got the job, but it was someone that hooked me up with the interview, but the guy that interviewed me actually said, well, you're very attractive, and got my information and said, oh, we don't have to sign a paperwork. Come on, let's go. I'll go ahead and take you to the drug place to, get tested and make sure you're clean and everything. And while we were on the way there, he was like, have you ever slept with a married man out of nowhere? Yeah, it's kind of awkward. And I was like, so how far is the drug place going to go? And then he just cut me off and was like, well, so have you ever slept with a married man? And he's like, you're probably too young, but, you have a long time to go.
I don't know where.
And you got in a car with this man to go take a drug test?
Yeah, I mean, it was with other people, but, while we were alone, before we got in the vehicle, he asked me, provocative questions.
Hmm. bold.
There are people who are in companies who have, you know, built these things up themselves, and they will never be alone with, one of them's a woman, and she'll never be alone with a male employee.
That'd be sort of understandable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's also safety from any kind of lawsuit.
Right.
You don't know people.
Right, and will never, and have had situations. Another one is a guy who's had situations where women have said, like, hey, can you can we go to lunch and talk about it? And he's like, sure. And then has his assistant or somebody else come and always be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We could have done this forever. Phone lines are lit up with women saying, yeah, I barely even got in the door on a job interview and they were all over me.
The Burt Show.
Melissa Carter has a reunion coming up. Milestone reunion coming up.
Yes, it's my 20th high school reunion, and it's one of those that everybody thinks, oh, that is so far away. I'll be old when that happens. And sure enough, here it is. And I can't believe that it's already been 20 years. But it was last year. I was class president, so I knew last year going into the fall that it was about time to start planning the reunion, because that's one of the jobs of the, you know, class president, is to do that. And so I started kind of getting in touch with some of the other class officers and some of the other people, trying to see if anybody in my hometown of Columbia, Tennessee, had started the process yet, or if I was starting the process, so that kind of thing. And then I got really nervous about it because I actually wrote a blog last fall about the fact that being gay is there's always coming out somewhere in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out on the radio for 13 years. I'm, you know, like the, you know, people tease me about being the outest lesbian in Atlanta, and here I am. But the idea of my 20th high school reunion was really nerve-wracking because I thought, you know what, I'm not out to these people. I actually came to Atlanta when I graduated college so that I could be out. So I didn't, you know, one of the reasons I left Tennessee was because I'm gay. So I thought, well, okay, you know what? At my 10-year, I wasn't dating anybody. So when I went back, I didn't say anything, didn't make a big deal about it. Some other people had planned it, so I just kind of was an attendant, and I went and had a good time, had a blast. But I never really, you know, everybody at that point, at your 10-year, they're not, a lot of people aren't married, people haven't really started their families yet, so it's not really a big deal. But I thought
it wasn't like they had a chance to ask you too many questions.
Yeah, because they thought, well, are you dating anybody? And I say no, and it was authentic. And they're like, oh, okay, you know, da da da. How's Atlanta? Da da. So, but this time I am dating somebody, and I always said, you know what, I want to be authentic, and I want to, you know, keep my, you know, character intact, and I'm not going to go back like some, you know, scared 18-year-old like I had been before. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to be out, and I'm going to bring my girlfriend, and we're going to be at this reunion. But how is that going to be received? So I had written this, again, this blog last fall, and talking about this. And then I got in touch with our vice president of the class, and his name is Garland. And he contacted me back, and he was like, you know, hey, you know, it's good to, I can't believe it's been 20 years. Da, da, da. And then he wrote in there, oh, and by the way, I read your blog. And I had already published that blog. So I thought, okay, here we go. So I wrote him an email.
Did you get nervous?
I got very nervous.
You went back to being 18 again.
Back to being 14 again. To where you just want to, in our lives, it doesn't matter how old you are, you just want to be accepted. As an adult, you just want to be accepted. Bert is losing his voice because sometimes he's out there. He could go home early, but you know what? You got
to
stay out.
He just wants to be accepted.
He just wants to be accepted. No.
I'm guessing the fella named Garland has dealt with some taunting in his life. So I'm sure.
No, Garland was the Denzel Washington of our class and still is. So, I mean, he was like the hot. He's Mr. McHottie. Okay. So that's another thing. A lot of times when you're back, when you're resort to high school mentality, you know, here are popular, good looking people. You, those are usually the ones stereotypically that are the bullies of the school. So I thought, well, Garland's a good indicator, you know, a handsome African-American man, straight man, who, how is he going to respond to me being gay?
So back in the day, was he that bully guy or was he a pretty cool dude?
No, he was a cool dude back in the day. I totally thought he was like Mr. Politician dude. So he was very, you know, he was able to be friends with all different groups of people. But I was a huge fan of his. And I, you know, his opinion meant a lot to me. So it was last fall. He said, you know what, I read your blog. Okay, here we go. So I wrote him an email back and I said, okay, this is my test. So I thought, well, let me go ahead and say it. So I said, you know what, I am not sure if they're going to let my kind into the reunion. Or, you know, made a joke. Oh, you sure going to let my kind in? Because, you know what, now that I'm out on the radio, I'm sure plenty of people already know and that kind of thing. So, and then I hit send and I thought, this is it. So that was the first time I actually acknowledged my sexuality to one of my classmates. And so I was waiting on his reply.
How long did it take for him to reply? Because it must have felt like twice as long as whatever it was.
I think I left the computer, and then it was a couple hours later, I came back and checked, and he had responded.
Was it always sort of on your mind, though? Like,
absolutely. And I even told Katie, like, you know what? He's going to write back. We'll see what he says, and then it'll be a good indicator on whether I'll be welcome back to the reunion or not. And so, and it's not really a case of which I would go back to the reunion, because I would certainly go, but it's, you know, when you're gay or anybody, I mean, it doesn't have to be gay, but anybody who feels out of place somewhere, you kind of want to kind of navigate the situation, make sure everything's going to be okay. So he responded, and his reply was, and I have it in front of me, it said, if anything, you need to have a parade announcing your return, and if they say anything, I got your back.
Oh, that's awesome.
Chill bombs.
So I know. Star so wings. I thought that, and it even goes further than that. So I was very relieved when I got that email, and actually wrote another blog bragging about him, wrote one just about him. And so I got another email back from him talking about this, and this is what he said. He said, there have been few times in my life in which I have shed tears outside of a birth or death, but today was one. I read the contents of your recent blog and was taken aback when I was the subject. I did not know that I was helping you find inner peace in your life's journey, but I'm glad that I made a positive impact on you.
Wow.
So it still brings tears to my eyes because cool. It's just one of those things, like, at least I know there'll be one friend at the reunion in September.
Well, he's just trying to hook up with you.
Well, that's true, because, you know, lesbians are hot, I know. But no, it's authentically... That really meant a lot to me. And then it just started trickling down. There's another guy named Scott, who Scott Rooker was a guy in school who I knew, kind of knew. But now he's like big military dude, like big badass military dude stationed out west. And so he read my blog. And so he responded to me and he said, here's what I think about you in the reunion. And I thought, you know, here's Scott, here conservative.
don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, exactly. And he said, go to the reunion and have fun. Be yourself and don't let anyone stand in your way or get you down. If people don't like it, tell them to F off. You know who you are and you have nothing to prove to anyone there. He said, I'll be there. I'll see you there. So I got Garland on one side, I got Denzel Washington on one side, and then I got Mr. Military Badass on the other side. So I'm going to the reunion. I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. But I've held on to these emails, and then slowly other people have, you know, started emailing.
Cool.
And, you know, and just not really saying anything about my sexuality, but at least just reaching out and saying, hey, I can't wait for you to come. I can't wait to see you at the reunion. And so even at your 20-year high school reunion, even as comfortable as I am with who I am, when you go back to your high school or your high school, you know, feelings or any insecurities you had, it's weird how it is still so like, I do feel like I'm 16 or 18 or 14 or high, you know, the tactics of hiding and lying come back into place where I can easily do it and I could easily dodge this and I could easily go back and say, oh, I was focused on my career and I never got married or make up some, you know, but I decided not to do that and to be honest about this. So.
That's awesome.
It's so hard to live authentically like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think that...
I mean, the easy way to do it is like you say.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with it, create some character, but you're nailing it head on.
Well, and I also think that everybody is trying to be more than they are. And that's a good thing in some ways and a bad thing in others. Like if I was going to try to be what I thought was more than I am, which is, oh, I'm successful and... Yeah, and relationships, I'm fine, and I'm straight. I'm a straight white American girl from Columbia, Tennessee, coming back. And, you know, but I think everybody has something in their minds or in their hearts that they're hiding and that they don't want anybody to see because they're afraid it'll make them uncool, it'll make them dorky or awkward. And we all are in some way. And I think that's where the real high school mentality comes in, is where you want to hide that awkwardness when you find, for a lot of people, I mean, at least for me, I find the awkwardness more charming than you trying to, you know, put on that everything's perfect, you know?
It's the mantra of the show that people never evolve from the ninth grade.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting older, but you still have all those feelings and cliques and wanting to be accepted by everybody else.
Right.
Know?
Worry about what you wear and worry about who you hang out with and
what
who's talking about
like
you. And yeah, exactly. And it just never changes.
Hey, Derek, you're on Q100. Good morning. Thought you were.
Maybe you're not.
Derek, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Can.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Melissa, you're giving me a lot of hope right now. Honestly, I'm in a similar situation. I was president of my senior class, and I am not out. And my reunion is in October, and I really don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm just happy to hear your story because you gave me a little bit more strength today.
Well, you can borrow Garland in this military guy to beat some ass.
Garland Scott? Yeah. Now, I think I also am aware when I go there that there'll be resistance and there'll be stares and there'll be people who won't be so nice. But I think for me, just, you know, not being alone. And even if I was alone, I'd still go. But it's nice to know that I won't be. That there'll be people there that at least I can talk to. Because a lot of times at the reunion, you just want to be, when you walk in a room at a reunion and you may not be still friends with people or know people or recognize people, then you at least want to have a little group of friends that you can, you know, spend the night with.
Do you really think somebody might say something to you?
Maybe. I mean,
What would they say?
Maybe more something unintentionally.
And more than
offensive.
Likely, people, if they really didn't like me anymore, then they would not talk to me at all.
Right,
they would avoid the conversation.
Like, would people come up and try to save you or tell you what the Bible says? Or would they
be rude?
I don't
know. I'm prepared for anything.
Sometimes are these built up in your head more than the reality of it? Or do you have to prepare for the worst?
When I was in high school, there was a rumor. I slipped, you know, in hindsight. I slipped and the person I was with and I kind of, there were people that kind of caught on. And I literally put my tray down in the cafeteria and the entire table got up and left.
Really?
So there are people that will do that. And so,
but I mean, 20 years, that was 20 years ago.
That was 20 years ago. But some people, if they stayed in Columbia, Tennessee is a small town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they stayed in Columbia this whole time, that's the difference is the Columbia people. Now, Garland's one of the Columbia people, but I mean... You know, but Scott's not. You know, Scott, my military dude, who is still conservative in his values, but he went out west and he's just seen the world a little more, so he doesn't care.
Right.
But people in Columbia, maybe. I mean, I love my hometown and I love being there, but I'm prepared for it. And just to answer his thing, I think the reason I'm going and being who I am is for me and not for anybody else. And that's the difference in life is when you stop thinking about what other people are thinking and what you want to be and what you want to be able to say about your life when it's over, then that's what's most important, not because somebody in Columbia is going to say something rude to me because I've heard it all before.
You know what's going to happen because I've seen some John Cusack movies?
Yeah.
Some of those people from the table that got up when you were in high school are going to come up to you at the reunion and they're going to sit with you and they're going to make it right.
That's right.
And they're going to be sad and then... You're going to fall in love, and then you're going to hold a
boom. Wait, she's already in love. How does that factor in?
She's going to hold a boombox over her head.
You're going to have a wedding. You're going to have wedding in Columbia.
Oh, wow.
That's what's going to happen. And everybody from your high school is going to show up.
And has frozen over.
Yeah. Yay, Melissa's gay. Welcome to Columbia today. And then John Cusack and you will be... at the beginning of the Columbia Pride Parade.
Hey, The Bert Show.
So intern Carl is a father of how many?
Three.
Three kids. And one of the kids, their ages are what?
Yeah, I have a 7-year-old, 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And the 7 and the 5, they're in summer camp right now. And, you know, they have all these activities going on. And you tell me, I'm a little overprotective of my kids, you know, and I try to push them to make them, you know, be ready for the world whenever they get ready, but I'm a little overprotective. Now, my wife, she told me that they were going swimming one day in the summer camp, and I've never let my kids go swimming without us being around. I was real hesitant about that. She said, honey, let them go. They need to learn, blah, blah, blah. All right, whatever, go. But then they said they had a trip to Six Flags. That's when I drew the line. Now, how do y'all feel about that? A 7-year-old.
You want me to tell you how I feel about Six Flags?
Well, Jeff's still a little scarred by our. You know, by the way, sidebar.
You should have asked me that question at 7 a.m.
That's how Carl found out about Q100 and the Bert Show.
Yeah.
Is the whole Six Flags debacle a couple of years ago?
I didn't know that.
I got to listen to those morons.
I didn't either, really.
I was coming down, coming from Douglasville.
Oh, that's
and
great.
20 was blocked. I'm thinking it's Freaknik. I'm saying, what's going on? It's Freaknik. Freaknik 2005, whatever it was. But that's when I realized. Then I started hearing about Q100 doing the Six Flags thing. That's what really put me on to the station. I started listening ever since.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
All right, so that's our little sidebar.
Thank you.
But
yeah, you should be thanking Six Flags.
Just not me, a few other partners too. But anyway, my 7-year-old, my 5-year-old, man, I'm like, nah, you can't go to Six Flags without me. It's first of all, it's too many people. It's the summer. It's teenagers working
but they
the
have
rides.
Chaperones, right?
Yeah, but maybe it's a class of at least 30 to 60 kids. and maybe, what, five parents?
So is your, before we go on, just to get clarification, is your beef with field trips or is your beef with there's just so many distractions at that one particular place, Six Flags, that you don't think the two chaperones that have been assigned to 30 kids can properly watch all of them?
That's my beef.
With the second part.
With the second part, right.
So if they were going to the Fernbank, two chaperones, 30 kids at Fernbank, you know, the museum, all the...
Right, a little bit more controlled environment.
You're cool with that.
I was real on the edge with the zoo because, you know, you can run around and just get lost. Just the bigger the place and the lesser the shop. And I got three kids, man. It takes me and my wife to handle those three.
No doubt. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not comfortable with 60 kids and five chaperones. You know,
what's your fear? That one of them will get lost?
Yeah, one of them get lost, that's the biggest
fear. What do you think they're going to do is get back on the buses and go, 57. Damn it, man. Three of them are missing. Oh, it's going to be a bummer.
Wow. I mean, percentage-wise, it's all right.
Baseball players hit 320, and you hail them. Percentage-wise, like, way to go.
Let's roll.
We came in with 60. We're leaving with 57.
Wait, it's a good day.
It's okay.
But the element with Six Flags here is not only lost, but you got pools, you got water involved.
You got riots involved. You got teenagers dealing with the kids. And, you know, camp counselor, man, it's not like 30-year-olds dealing with these kids. We're talking about 15, 17-year-old teenagers for the summer who are just trying to get a buck, you know?
Oh, I might agree with you then.
Oh, yeah,
like,
man.
I assume that they were like 25-something years old. I don't know. I might agree with you. Man, At first, I thought you were just being a little too overprotective. But
yeah.
I don't know, man. If it's a 15-year-old watching my 6- or 7-year-old, I might be there with you.
Yeah, let's say 17-year-old. I mean, they may have an 18-year-old over there as a counselor.
I think you're being a little overprotective.
I don't know now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought you were fine with me.
If they were older, like if they were 10 and 8 or 12 and 10 or whatever, would you have a different view about it?
If they were older, maybe 9, 10, yeah, I could deal with that. But 7 and 5? Nah,
that is kind of babies.
We have, you know, Stacy and I have done this too, and I've talked about this where I just will not allow a teenage babysitter in my house. I just won't. You know, we've got a couple of them.
I don't agree with that either.
I know you don't. I know what I was like as a teenager. I know what teenagers are like. And I just could never live with the fact that I put my kid in the responsibility of a teenager's hands. If something went wrong, I would think, why did I do that?
Right.
I agree. Just distracted a teenager's.
What about a teenager, a friend, a teenager of the family, a family member?
No.
Nope. Hey, there are 17 teenagers in Gloucester, Massachusetts who are more than prepared to be moms.
Absolutely. They have a little pact. It takes a village. It takes a teenage village.
See, we're saying kids can't commit. These were 17 girls that stepped right up.
That's right.
Gretchen.
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, I just have to agree with this gentleman here. I would not send, I have a 6.5-year-old, so I'm pretty close to his same situation, and there's no way I would do it. And here's why. Not only is it just the ratio of, you know, teenagers watching my child is just too out of proportion. You know, and maybe I'm being crazy too, but, you know, that's the place people will go when you want to pick off a child. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to a theme park. This is the exact situation that people would be, you know, some kind of sadistic pedophile would be looking for.
Oh, that's scary.
Damn, that's a hell of a label.
Yeah, well, that's the way I think, so.
Is that the name of your band in high school, Melissa?
Yeah.
Sadistic Pedophiles.
That was the second name, then we changed it.
Isn't that the name of the softball team you played last night?
Right.
Laura, hey, you're on Q100.
Hey, guys, it's Laura.
Hey.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, yeah, I am totally in agreement as well. I let my 7-year-old go with some friends, actually, of mine that, you know, I mean, I knew that they were going to take care of my son, but they went with a bunch of other kids, and they took him to Whitewater, and because there were so many kids and not quite enough adults, they thought he was with somebody else. You know, everybody thought he was with the other person, and they left him behind on one of the rides, and he was lost for like 10, 15 minutes sitting there crying. Nobody knew where he was. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know where everyone else was, and he was only 7, and it's just, I think the ratio of chaperones to children is a really important factor.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do it again, just, you know, if I wasn't there, or if I didn't know that there was, you know, one parent to every child practically at a place like that. It's really important because it's so easy for them to get left behind.
Carl, how many chaperones? Oh, he'll remember that.
He'll remember that experience.
Yeah.
How many chaperones would have to go for you to be comfortable with your kids hanging out there at Six Flags?
70.
At least.
60 kids, it's got to be 70 chaperones.
I need the same ratio. I need 3 to 1.
three kids to everyone.
One chaperone. I need that.
That kind of peace of mind.
But you know what, though? This is, I never told you this, but me, my brother, and my two partners, we used to be camp counselors when we were in high school. That's the reason why.
Let me tell you what happened. The truth comes out.
We lost one kid downtown. One kid fell out the van.
Oh,
all
no
in one summer.
Way.
I promise you.
Now, hold on a minute. I would like to take this in a different direction for
long
a moment.
Long time ago.
And ask you how the young man fell out of a van.
Yeah.
The back door was open, and this was, what was his name? I think his name was Tyrone. Real bad little joker. But he would never sit down. This little dude.
Tyrone, the name of the kid who falls out of a van.
Exactly. Tyrone, sit down. He's in the back of the van fiddling around. Tyrone, sit down, man.
It's like playing with the latch in the
next
back.
Next thing
or
you know, playing with the latch, opens up the door. Bloop, bloop.
What road was it on? Was it on like a heavy, like a highway road? Or where were you?
We were just on a regular residential road coming back to the club.
He's okay, though, right?
Yeah, Tyrone's good now.
Tyrone's all right.
Nice strong, nice strong soldier.
And that's the anger, where the anger is you don't even go like, oh, my God, stop the car, Tyrone. You just go, Tyrone, I told you. You don't even yell. You're just like, I told you. And you get up and
stop the van. Tyrone fell out.
Again.
And you pick him up by his belt. You don't even help him in the van.
I want to know where Tyrone is now.
He hasn't ridden in a van since.
No.
But, you know, raising my kids around pit bulls, yeah, that's a go. Take my kids to Six Flags and something else, no go.
Good morning, Q100.
Hi, guys. Hey. I wanted to say that I am very, very highly offended by the accusation that the teenagers and the people and the college students would lose your child.
Well, first of all, I made the distinction. I said teenagers. I will not let a teenager watch my child. You can be as offended as you want about it, but in my house, I just do not feel comfortable with a teenager acting as the parental figure in my home.
Now, as far as with the summer camps are staffed with teenagers and college students. They're the people that are willing to sit and suffocate and sweat to death in the sun with your child, but yet you don't want them to go. If that's the case, you shouldn't put your child in summer camp.
Which camp are you working at?
Camp Best Friends.
Camp Best
Friends.
That's
I'm taking my kids. But no, seriously though, I mean, I respect the teenagers and the college students in there. Like I said, I was one myself, but it's those two or three that are over there, and you can name them too, couldn't you? Name that one
She's
teenager.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But yeah, it's that one or two camp counselor who really just trying to get a buck. And that's what I mean. My kid may be stuck with that guy.
And you don't want to risk that.
Nah, I can't risk it.
You don't want your kid to end up like Tyrone?
they're playing let's drop rocks on Jimmy while the camp counselor's leaning against the back of the cabin smoking. Going, God, this is a great job, man. Look at me. I'm hanging out in the sun, having a cigarette. Is that kid bleeding? Oh, crap.
You sound just like us back when we was doing it, too.
As soon as I finish this cigarette, I'm going to have to go handle that blood.
I guess I'll have to go get the first aid kit.
And then you don't even handle it. You're like, Bert! Bert, you got your first aid kit on you! I don't have mine. Hector and I smoked the gauze pad.
The Bert Show.